Welcome to the Quintessential Podcast, and thanks to our new title sponsor, Spire Academy Lacrosse. Spire is an international high school and post-grad sports performance training and education boarding school located within a world-class event and wellness complex. Quintessential Podcast welcomes in from the University of Maryland face-off man Luke Wehrman. Terps fresh off a terrific win up in the Dome on Saturday night at 6 o'clock. It's a game, Luke, that I was able to do my game. I had Hopkins hosting Loyola at 1, so I got home and got the popcorn going. Man, that was fun to watch. What was it like to compete in that game?
I mean, it was great. I mean, that was my second time playing there, and it doesn't disappoint. It's really awesome. Just the atmosphere there is great. I mean, I know we were very excited. It was a bit different because we played at 6 o'clock, so we just kind of sit around all day. But you know, coach kind of prepared us for that this fall when we went up to Cornell. We kind of did the same exact thing. So we were a little bit used to it, but you know, that game is just kind of those are the games you want to be in, and that's why, you know, we're lucky coach makes the schedule he makes to play in games like that.
That's a great point, because Maryland, when you look at your non-conference schedule, you guys are playing basically everybody, all the good teams prior to the Big Ten schedule. But that game, you know, that game to me, it had a lot going on. It had great individual performances. It had good schematic stuff. It had a goalie battle. It had a strong face-off battle. It had star power. It had drama. It had controversy. It had a crowd in a venue. I thought the television product was super strong. I mean, it had everything. To me, that's the type of game that I can put in and show a friend who may not be a lacrosse fan and be like, look, this is what you're missing out on. For you, my one question I had leaving the game was, what's it like for a face-off guy when you get two violations and you know that the next will lead to a flag? Like, how does that impact the way you do your job?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, especially with a team like Syracuse who – you know, has such a great, powerful man up. You know, it's definitely something that's in the back of your mind. But stuff like that, you just can't let get to you. Like, you can just go down a bad road if you're yeah. Overthinking. And it is a mental battle at the position. So you kind of just need to throw it away and really just focus on that next face-off. I think it'd be the same for goalies and really anybody. Like, just you got to put that last play behind you and just go to your next. And I think just focusing on that is kind of the most important thing you can do. But it is, you know, it's there. So you have to know it's there, right? You can't get antsy or anything, but you just need to kind of really dial in and just make sure you're on, because, you know, that'd be a bad way to give the extra team a man up.
Yeah. So focused on the whistle. You want to be as quick as you can, but you can't be jumpy.
Yeah.
Vice versa. What's it like when you know the other guy has two violations on him? Do you maybe turn up the aggressiveness on trying to beat the whistle?
Yeah, I'd say you can, you know, kind of depending on time of the game and things like that. It all comes, like, you could change up how you exit with the ball, you know, because they can get violations for holds and other things like that. So, you know, a faceoff guy might not be as aggressive on his counter, you know, if he's afraid of, you know, getting a hold or something like that. So you can kind of change up your exits or try to, you know, maybe go out the front a little bit more aggressively. So there are different things you can do, but, you know, it all depends. The most important thing is just getting possession for our offense.
Maryland's battle tested, now road tested, three wins, beat Richmond, Loyola at home 11-4, and then the win up at the Dome in overtime against Syracuse. Terps host Princeton this week, still on the non-conference schedule. Down the road is a game with Notre Dame and a game with Virginia, and that's all before the Big Ten. So this is something something special. Your trajectory, you know, I've covered you. I know your background story. Henderson is a program in PA outside of, they've had lacrosse forever. My older brothers played against Henderson in the 70s.
Really?
Like, yeah. Lindbergh, Long Island used to play Henderson during spring break routinely. You guys have like a brownish color uniform?
Maroon and black.
Maroon.
They could look brown. They were pretty old when I was playing there. So uniforms, yeah.
Did you start with a rec program in town?
So yeah, I just played for Westchester. I'm from Westchester, Pennsylvania. I started playing for Westchester Lacrosse. It's honestly great program, tons of kids, met a lot of friends doing that. And then there's three high schools in Westchester, and I'm kind of just live right outside the borough of Westchester. So I went to Westchester Henderson, which was right in the borough. And yeah, I mean, I played for Henderson. We played for Coach Stankiewicz for 4 years. He was a great coach. He was coaching at Henderson for 50 years, I think his anniversary was when I was there.
Wow.
So yeah, it was pretty awesome. He coached football and lacrosse at Henderson, and then just was lacrosse for however long. But so yeah, I was lucky to play for him, and it was small, but it was fun. I enjoyed it.
What middle school era you kind of made the focus on becoming a great face-off midfielder? Is that accurate?
Going into high school, I knew I was kind of on the smaller side. I didn't really hit a growth spurt until like sophomore year of high school. And I wanted to play on the varsity team. And I knew, taking faceoffs might be an opportunity for me to, make the varsity team. So I started training with a player who was he was a senior faceoff man on St. Joe's named Mike Lanham. So I kind of got in contact with him and started doing lessons with him. And that's kind of where I kind of directed my focus at first.
You got a shot to be a pro. 65% this season. Last season, 61%. Back when Maryland won the championship in 2022, you were 66%. It's interesting because the pros I see, Luke, they were field players who then dove into the specialty of the faceoff art, or they were specialists, and then it really improved their field game. A guy like Trevor Baptiste stands out in particular, the way his exits now, his ball handling, his shooting, his passing, his defense. How do you view yourself in that prism?
Well, I mean, when I got to Maryland, I was, a little bit behind, I'd say, at the least, with all of this, the stick skills and things like that. But just from how many drills that us faceoff guys go through, in practice every day, we're lucky enough that, we're involved in mostly all of the drills. I think that really helps, just playing with the offensive guys and defensive guys. I think that's been very helpful over the past couple of years. And, I've came a long way since freshman year in that aspect. But, I think it's a very important part of the position. I think there's nothing worse than, being able to win the faceoff, but then not being able to get to your offense. So it's kind of a focus we have of just like being in a lot of drills where, there's a lot of pressure on our hands and things like that, and be able to kind of, get out of pressure and throw the ball to whoever we need to.
Yeah, and your numbers this year say that. You got 17 ground balls, you only had one turnover. That's outstanding. That's outstanding. When you break up your practice, like, is it a third facing off, a third O or exits, and a third D? Like, what are you doing in terms of how do you break it down to keep the proper balance? Like, you need to know the D schemes, I'm guessing.
I
You're
mean, yeah. Sorry to interrupt you, by the
Yeah,
way.
no, and you're part of the early offense. Like, so what's a typical day look like?
Yeah, so I mean, especially the spring, and every day is different. The beginning of the week, first day is a little more rest, and then middle of the week, we're kind of in scouting and other drills like that. But usually, we have positional. Near the beginning of practice. So that's where we do a lot of our face-off stuff. With Coach Obransky, and we do some days we'll do, take a lot of lives in the middle of the week, kind of get back into it. And, sometimes we'll just work on our pressure exits depending who we're playing this week. And then, before like we do scout segments and things like that, we'll have like transition drills where we'll have multiple transition drills that were ground ball drills that lead into transition drills. And we'll kind of play on both sides of that. So we'll play if we were getting in the hole in transition and having to get off the field, you know, if we were on offense and we're having a 6v5 or a 4v3 or something like that. So we go through a lot of those situations. And then we also do that stuff during full field kind of segments too, where, you know, we kind of set up the whole field and kind of go through those situations as a team. So yeah, there's a bunch of different times. We kind of, a lot of drills have a lot of different aspects to them, and, you know, multiple aspects, like ground balls will lead into transition and lead into other types of things like that.
You mentioned a couple minutes ago that your improvement as a lacrosse player since you've come to Maryland has been big. So it's a commitment to just working on your skills, your righty, your lefty, your ground ball skills, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I would say just putting yourself in drills as much as possible. Like, you know, you kind of, you're a young guy, you're not trying to, like, you know, jump in there right away, but just like jumping in drills, you know, being confident in drills. And then also just like kind of what you do on your own, you know, just like with other guys and getting out in the field and doing stick work stuff and doing things like that, you know, kind of is very beneficial, goes a long way.
The face-off craft has become highly specialized. The analysis that Fogos do in terms of their opponents, the moves, whether it's clamp, rake, top, what you know, all the variety of moves, plus their exits and the officials. It's really important that you get a feel for the three officials who are rotating, their cadence, their voice, whether they're a quick whistle or slow whistle. How much of your prep? You don't know who the officials are until later in the week, I would guess. But typically, like for a high school or face off a wannabe type player, like what's important scouting wise? Is it your opponent's alignment, or do you focus more on exits? Do you focus more on their base moves?
Yeah, we focus. We focus on a lot of things. We focus on the wings, kind of like where they like to line up. So you kind of might know what kind of exits you will have to go to, like myself. Yeah. You know, we'll see, like, do their wings move a lot? Will they start somewhere and then move somewhere? Do they lock off the wings? You know, and then also when it comes to the face-off guy, we'll see, like, you know, some guys, it's like he only likes to go here and he only likes to go there. It's either right out the front or right out the back, or he kind of goes to the right. You know, he kind of will feed it to it. He likes to get his wings involved and give the ball to his wings. So we kind of take all that stuff into account. We'll see, like, he might go straight to a counter a lot, and then we'll work from there. Like, you're gonna have to get the ball out quick because he's gonna get right into your arms and kind of try to disrupt your clamp and everything. So you got to get the ball out really quick to kind of avoid all that. So those are all things we kind of look at. You know, each guy's different. That's what I think the position's pretty special. It's a very unique position, and everybody kind of has their own technique with the same goal. But yeah, it kind of depends week to week. We kind of look at all those things.
I faced off up until eighth grade, and then again when I was in college during the summer playing midfield, one time against the Iroquois national team. Actually, I think Lyle Thompson's dad, I may have faced off against Jerome. But yeah, I was teammates with Andy Claxton. Now, Andy Claxton, you just passed Andy Claxton's record at the University of Maryland, number one faceoff man, somewhere more than 650 wins. Andy, let me tell you about Andy. Was my height, 200 pounds of muscle, quads, calves. He was, you couldn't knock him over. And yeah, he was the nicest guy, a fierce competitor, and a pretty damn good all-around midfielder. Have you ever met some of these older face-off guys from Maryland?
I hope I'm not wrong. I don't think I have met many of the older face-off guys from Maryland. Besides John Brothers, I think he faced off a little bit.
Yeah, JB was a long
time
too.
Yeah, he's the man. But, you know, just being, like, mentioned with those guys is pretty awesome. Pretty grateful for that. You know, I did just meet a couple other alumni at the Richmond game. Some guys that played in the 70s.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
The guys that I played against in the 90s, many of them ended up working for Under Armour early, yeah. Kip Foulkes, Jonathan Brothers, and doing extremely well for themselves. JB, Jonathan Brothers, he played about as hard as anybody. I mean, he's a little gnat, and he would not back down from anybody. He would run the field with his hair on fire. Whether it's face-offs, he'd stay on, he'd play D. He was nuts. He was absolutely crazy. And he always brought the juice. That guy, I mean, regardless of scenarios, post-college, and even in college when he played for Coach Adell, man, he just had such a great energy and enthusiasm.
Yeah, you know, we were lucky enough to hear. He came and talked to the team right before the season. We had a team dinner in College Park, and he came and talked to us, and he just fired us up and kind of got us going and gave us a couple stories. So that was really cool. Cool of him.
That genuine enthusiasm, you know, like
seriously, yep.
You can't, like, there's certain guys, you know, on your team right now who bring it every single day, regardless of this, whether you're coming off a win, coming off a loss, whether it's raining out and 32 degrees on a Tuesday, who would be a couple of those guys on your team this year who you know today at practice are going to be on their toes and ready to go.
Today's episode is brought to you in partnership with Spire Lacrosse. Spire's world-class high school and post-grad lacrosse programs are ideal for serious lacrosse players looking for an intense training environment to prepare for the next level of competition. The academies provide student-athletes the chance to study, train, and compete in world-class athletic and academic facilities while seeking the best possible college scholarship opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, of course, like Ajax will be – I mean, I feel like everybody's going to be ready to go. I mean, kind of as leaders and stuff, it's all our – and, you know, upperclassmen, it's our responsibility to make sure the team's ready to go. But guys that, you know, kind of really lead that will be kind of like Ajax, you know, Jack McDonald, you know, even young guys like Will Schauer. He's always ready to go. He's dialed in, kind of getting the guys fired up. You know, I can go down the list. There's really plenty of guys. Daniel Kelly's on the offense end, you know, really getting the guys going. So we have a good solid core group that, you know, kind of get the guys ready to go coming out to practice every day.
You know, it's what you'll notice, and I think you got a big shot to play in the Premier Lacrosse League, if not the indoor league, if you want that too. But what stood out to me when I made the jump after college, how many good players there were out there that you really hadn't heard of, okay? Guys who play for schools maybe not in the top 10, and like, wow, these guys are really good. And then the other thing was at practice, how much everyone competed. Like, nobody wanted to lose a rep. That was the difference. You know, like I get the sense that Ajax Apotello is the type of defender. He's never going to give you the rep, like regardless of the drill. Like, you're going to have to go toe to toe. Do you find yourself the same way? I get the sense that you're the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I do find myself the same way. I think I'm a very competitive person, and I think, you know, that's something I also have needed to work on, you know, especially at the face-off position. Like, I'm a very competitive guy, but I can't let things get to me. Like, it gets frustrating. So, I, you know, there's a balance between it, but, you know, I think it's a large reason why I kind of pride myself on kind of, you know, if I don't win the clamp, still sticking with the face off and, you know, checking and trying to get the ball back. But yeah, I mean, Ajax is a great example. I mean, I think that's just kind of the culture here in Maryland, especially. Like, you're not going through the motions during practice. Like, you're out there to compete, and, you know, that's how you earn a spot on the field. You know, and everybody's always being evaluated, and that's how you get the best out of each other as well. And that's kind of, that will lead to winning. And that's why, you know, we have such great scout teams, because they're not just going through the motions. You know, they're taking it to, like, our offense, our scout offenses and defense are taking it to those guys every day, making them work for it. And they're letting them hear it when they, you know, score on them or get a stop on them, you know. And, you know, that's kind of what we live by for sure.
Hey, what's the role of parents in all this at this stage for you now in college?
Personally, like my parents or just?
Yeah, your parents. Because I know parents are highly involved now throughout the high school process because of club, on the road, getting in planes, staying in hotels. It's a lot. It's a time commitment. It's a financial commitment. And then you go to college and all of a sudden there's a distance there. You know, they're no longer daily participants. Your parents, what, Tim and Jen?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't have think of a thing that my parents haven't done for me. Like, they still, I mean, I'm a graduate student and they're still just always help me, always, you know, there for me whenever I need them. They come to every game though. They're always there. I think they might have missed two games in my career in college. I think the only time they both haven't been there was for my cousin's wedding one time when we played Hopkins, but they've been there for every game, no matter where it was. I mean, high school, I can't remember them missing. I can never remember them missing a game ever. And I'm the youngest of four, so I got older siblings and things who are also just unbelievable, you know, coming to my games and stuff. And same with my extended family. But my parents, you know, pick up the phone, call them, they're right there whenever I need them. I do go in a little bit, you know, sometimes, especially in the spring when we're kind of all dialed in all week. You know, I won't call my mom as much as I think she'd like, but, you know, I could, you know, I still talk to them a lot. So I'm still pretty good.
I still get that weekly. My mom still, you need to call me more.
Oof. That's good though.
Your mom was a college athlete. Is that accurate?
She was. Yeah. She was a gymnast at University of Massachusetts.
Wow. My daughter just retired from gymnastics after 12 years and just picked up a lacrosse stick last year for the first time. This year, she's transitioning to be a goalie as a ninth grader. Yesterday, we went out and I spent, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars on a chest protector, a helmet, gloves, a new stick. It's, we're all in on being a goalie. But I wonder, does your mom, if she competed as a gymnast, like she knows pressure and she knows perfection. And that's a little similar to the face-off position. Like you either win or you lose, and it's pretty obvious. There's not a gray area there. How does she deal with that?
Yeah, she actually, I remember when I was little, she used to tell me, when I shoot my free throws in basketball. I played basketball through, like, growing up my whole life throughout high school and then everything, and it was pretty big in my town. And she would say, Luke, you got to just imagine the ball going right over the front of the rim in the hoop every time you need to see the ball going in. And I was kind of always stuck by that. Just like, you need to see it going in. And I kind of do that when I go down, face off. Like, you just got to see yourself. Like, it's muscle memory. That clamp, like, at this point, it's kind of like, I don't, how many kind of I've taken, I feel like it's more muscle memory. Kind of just the actual motion off the whistle. But I just try to visualize, like, myself, you know, kind of crushing the ball off the whistle. So that's kind of something she always used to tell me, kind of that she used to do too, visualizing her routine. And you know, I think she was on the beam a lot. So just doing that and visualizing it go well and everything.
That's a huge part of athletics, huge part of athletics, because you're getting those mental reps in. It's building confidence and affirmation. You've seen yourself win the faceoff in the championship game before it even happens. And so going out there is not anything new. You've dreamed about this throughout your whole life, right?
Yeah.
Was that what 2022 was like? When you weren't surprised to win every game. You weren't surprised to win 65% of the faceoffs. In your mind, you won 100%.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want to put in your mind, you know, positive feedback and things like that. But I mean, it was surprising, you know, kind of 22 was surprising just because, you know, how it went, good surprising. I mean, put in a lot of work, that year. So, you know, it went well, but, it's kind of just always been my thing. I mean, if you go in before a face off and you're thinking like, I mean, you need to know like what you're going to do if, you know, that guy does get on the whistle and, you know, win the hands and win the ball. But you kind of need to have the mental, you need to be like, I'm going to win this face off. Where am I going to go with it? Like, where am I going to exit with it? You know, and things like that. Positive headspace, I think, goes a long way instead of getting, you know, thinking about losing, getting all uptight and then you're all in your head. I think that does not help things.
Yeah, all in your head's going to slow you down, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
you want to have a plan, but when that whistle blows, it's got to be completely reactive, right? I mean, you got to be like, you can't overthink this thing, or you're a beat behind, right?
Yeah, yeah, I'd say it's a lot of feel for sure. Kind of, it's you making quick decisions. Like once you win the ball, you try to go forward and he jumps in front of you, you can't go forward anymore. And then that means you got to probably go back to your right or your left, and you got to know where your wings are lined up, because if you go back to your right, you might run right into your LSM. So you might have to pull the ball back outright. So it's kind of just like a feel for things for sure.
This week, I'm going to a South Bend. We got a game on Sunday. Georgetown is at Notre Dame on Sunday. I think it's a 2 Eastern start on ESPNU. Princeton visits Maryland. Luke, what do you like about the culture this year on your squad? What's notable about this year's group?
Yeah, what I think is nice is we have a lot of older guys this year. I mean, there's six, seven of us, fifth year guys, which, you know, is doubled in last year, which is great. Big senior class. So we have, you know, kind of just a ton of different types of leaders, which is great. And our culture has always kind of been, our mindset has always been, since I've been here at least, just kind of making the most of our time together and kind of making sure that we get the most time together that we can. And we've really started sticking by that so far this season, and kind of it's been our outlook for this season is like, we got to make as much time as possible together. So whatever that means.
What does that mean? Because every team in the country is watching film, lifting weights, and practicing together.
Yeah.
On the road together. Is it the other time that you think is most important?
I'd say just those things, but doing it with intent and doing it for a purpose, doing it for each other. It's very important. Because if we don't, then our time is going to be cut short together. Right. So if you don't make the most of our time together, then it's not going to be a long time. Right. But if we go in there every day, with that mindset of like, you know, if we bring it today, that could just give us an opportunity to extend that time together and, you know, go further into the season. So that's kind of been where our head's been at.
Interesting. Being connected to me is critical for a team. And the challenge is now for you guys with computers, cell phones, guys putting in their earbuds on a road trip. You know, I mean, back in the day, we had like one source of music for the whole bus, one source of music for the locker room. There were no cell phones. So the connectivity and the engagement from teammate to teammate was heightened. And I worry sometimes now that teams, they're there, but they're not really there. They're not really engaged with each other as much as they should be. And I was wondering if Coach Tillman ever says, guys, no cell phones, or how does he approach cell phones? Are they allowed in the locker room and then they have to be turned off? Like, you can't bring them to a team meeting, obviously, or film. How do you guys deal with the modern distractions?
Yeah, I mean, he jokes around. He's like, I don't know what you young kids do on your phones and things like that. So that's something that is up to the, you know, just the leaders of the and all the older guys of the team to just like kind of make sure that everybody's kind of dialed in when it matters. And I think we do a pretty good job of that. Like, for the game, like, we go to breakfast, we come back, we get to the locker room for a home game. Like, it's kind of like phones off, and, you know, not phones off because we're all listening, a lot of guys are listening to music on their phones, but it's like, it's kind of a general sense where, you know, that guys are on their phones, you know, change their song or things like that, not like just scrolling through Instagram and things. And that's just kind of never hasn't really been a problem very much. So
is that
some of the freshmen and things, because, you know, they're new and.
Yeah, is that a legit concern when a new guy comes in the program, like, and shows up at a team lunch before your game at Syracuse, and he's on his phone, his head's down on his phone? Like, is that an issue, or am I overthinking things here?
I don't think we've really had that problem. I mean, phones at, you know, team meals are like, you might as well leave them on the bus. We don't go on phones.
But team meals, no phones. That's a no phone.
No phone zone. You know, I mean, I don't find the need for a phone, like, with all my 50 friends, so it's all good. But, you know, unless you're trying to pull up a funny video of one of them, it's really all we're needed for. But, yeah, we take pride in that for sure. Kind of like, that's been a thing since I got here. It's like, no phones at, first thing you learn is no phones at team meals.
That's a good rule.
Yeah.
I try to have that here in the house as much as possible. sometimes I'm the guilty party, and my daughter will be like, "Daddy, this is no phone zone." I'm like, "Oh
Yeah.
yeah, right. What are you working on?" "Well, I'm watching this game."
Yeah.
Well, Luke, first of all, congratulations on setting the Maryland record. You're doing incredible work, and you have both throughout your career and this year. Maryland's going places this year. I can't wait to see you guys later in the season. Princeton this week, and then you got a couple big games, non-conference. A lot to be excited for, man. Your schedule is cool. You got Notre Dame, Virginia, and then obviously the Big Ten championships and the NCAA. So appreciate you spending some time. Good luck in your graduate studies.
Thank you very much. Yep.
And look forward to seeing you in action.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning into today's show. You can contact me at quint.kesnick@espn.com with any feedback or guest ideas. And a special thank you to all our sponsors, including today's presenting sponsor, Spire Lacrosse.